Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your word is the truth. And we thank you that the truth always works because you are the truth. And thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Spirit of truth to guide us into all the truth. So we thank you that you want to speak your truth into our hearts and lives this morning, and you want to release in us the faith to see your word actually being outworked in our lives. So we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, be seated, please. And if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison towards the end of his life, the end of his ministry. When you read it, you would think that the people living in freedom would have written this to Paul to encourage him in prison, but he's in prison encouraging all those that are not in prison. And he says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, I'm sure nearly all of you would be very familiar with that scripture. Wouldn't it be great if you did it? Wouldn't it be great if you always rejoiced? You know it's a command in Scripture, because this is a command, rejoice in the Lord always. Then Paul says, I will say it again, in case you didn't hear it the first time, rejoice. Wouldn't it be great if you did it? Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Wouldn't it be great if you were always gentle, never angry, never worked up, but like Jesus, you had that humble and gentle heart? Wouldn't it be great? Then it says, the Lord is near. Wouldn't it be great if you were always conscious of his presence? Never forgot that he was with you, so that no matter what situation you were in, you would depend upon him and turn to him. Wouldn't that be great? Then he says, do not be anxious about anything. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if you were never anxious, never fearful, never worried? I mean, what Paul is saying is only a reflection of what Jesus said. Do not be worried about anything. But wouldn't it be great if you actually did that? Never anxious. Then in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Wouldn't it be great if you were always praying with thanksgiving? Because you were so confident, so assured that what you prayed would be fulfilled, that God would do it. Wouldn't it be great? I think it would be great. Doesn't anybody else think it would be great? I think it would be great. Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if we always lived in that place of peace? Never allow the enemy to undermine our peace, because, you know, he's the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the first thing he always wants to steal from Christians is their peace. So wouldn't it be great if we were always in that place of peace? Then Paul says in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Wouldn't it be great if you had a thought life like that? That you never thought negative things, ungodly things, judgmental things, faithless things. Wouldn't it be great to have a mindset that was so positive? Then in verse 9 he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Wouldn't it be great if you always did what you heard preached? The preachers would think it was great if you did. But wouldn't it be great if when we hear God speak to us, we immediately put it into practice? Instead of him having to say the same thing to us again and again and again before we really take notice of it. Don't you think that would be great? Then Paul says in the middle of verse 11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Wouldn't that be great? If no matter what situation you were in, you were content, never dissatisfied. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm reading from the Word of God, so I think it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be in plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Wouldn't that be great? If you were always content, no matter what the situation you were in, always giving thanks, always rejoicing in the Lord. And then he says in verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Wouldn't it be great if that phrase, I can't, never crossed your lips? Never even entered your thinking, because you know you can do all things through him. But wouldn't it be great if you never thought or said, I can't? And then we'll just look at one more verse. Verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? If we really believed as soon as a need arose in our lives, it would be met. Now, I'm sure Paul, sitting in prison as he wrote this, was not in the realm of fantasy. He wouldn't have been in a mood to write a whole lot of things that he knew were impossible. And when you think about it, if he had learned to be content in every situation, he's content to be in prison. He's content to be where he is because he knows the Lord is with him and he knows the Lord is aware of all of his circumstances. So is all this totally unrealistic? Or is it that we don't see all these things being expressed in our lives because we're missing something? Now, there's something we haven't grasped, we haven't got hold of. Now, Jesus said to the disciples at the Last Supper, abide in me and I in you. Literally, go on continuously living in me and I will go on continuously living in you. Now, when you look at all these things, you realize you can't do this. You can't be like that. You just can't be. You're not, and you can't be. But the Christ in you is like that. The Holy Spirit within you is like that, and the Holy Spirit within you would enable you to do all those things. Because there's nothing negative in the Holy Spirit. So, are we missing the fact that if we trust in the Spirit, we will be like that? We will live like that. So the problem from our perspective is different from the perspective that God has on our lives, because He doesn't have a problem. And He doesn't actually have a problem with us if we live by the truth. So, we have our natural life, our soul life, and we have the life of Christ in us. And Paul says elsewhere, the secret of living the Christian life is not what you can do or how you can be or even how God can change you, but the secret is Christ in you. So now we're faced with a bit of a conundrum because, okay, we're in a situation, perhaps a pretty testing and trying situation. You don't feel like rejoicing, and the Christ in you is rejoicing. So the Christ in you wants you to rejoice, but you don't feel like rejoicing. Then, you know, you're in a situation where you really feel worked up and aggravated, and the Christ in you is gentle and merciful and compassionate. Because He doesn't share all your aggravated feelings and emotions. So there's you and there's Christ in you. But at that moment, there doesn't seem to be agreement between the two. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at here? Okay. Then he says, don't be anxious about anything. So there you are being anxious in your natural life, and the Christ in you says, what are you being anxious for? There's nothing to be anxious about. I'm in control. I am Lord. And so on. We could go on through all of this, you know, in everything by prayer with thanksgiving. Sometimes you don't feel like giving thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, as he says to Paul says in Thessalonians. Whereas the Christ in you, the Spirit within you, is urging you, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. I don't feel thankful. Give thanks, because I'm here. I'm with you. I'm in you. You see, it isn't that when we feel negative or have a negative reaction to our circumstances that the Holy Spirit has left us or that Christ is no longer within us. It's just that we're ignoring Him and taking no notice of Him. Now, how can we remedy this situation? Well, let's go back to those words of Jesus. Continue to live in Me, and I will continue to live in you. So, Christ lives in us only because we live in Him. Right? So the more conscious we are of living in Him, the more of His life will be expressed in us. So the problem isn't just, well, we forget that Christ is in us, or we don't depend upon the Christ within us, or we don't depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. No. The real problem is that we're not conscious enough of our life in Christ. Because He can only express His life in us in as much as we understand and depend upon our life in Him. Are we getting this? So, we have to go back to the cross. Now, we sang a good song earlier in the meeting about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I think every believer understands that Jesus died in order that we might be forgiven for our sins and therefore be made totally acceptable in God's sight. But of course, if we look at the revelation of Scripture, of the New Testament, that's not all Jesus did on the cross. We couldn't live a new life if Jesus had simply forgiven us for the sins of the old life. Because, you know, he forgives you for the sins of the old life, that brings you to a neutral position. But just being in a neutral position doesn't enable you to live the new life. So what else does the Scripture say? And this is the thing, you see, that Christians tend to forget. Not you, of course, but then we're just speaking generally. What they tend to forget is that when Jesus went to the cross, He didn't simply take your sins, He took you. See, and He crucified you. He put you to death. So Paul says, you have died. Your death is actually a historic fact. Because the Scripture says that when Christ died, all mankind died. Not just all believers, but all mankind. He took all mankind, all of sinful humanity to the cross and put the whole of sinful humanity to death. So that's a historic fact. So you have died. Your baptism in water was the funeral service which actually testified to the fact that you had died. Baptism is not a public confession of faith. You make a public confession of faith when you're baptized, but that's not what it means. When you are baptized with water, and this is why it's so important for everybody to have been baptized in water, what was happening is the old life that was crucified with Christ is being buried. So when he's writing to the Romans, Paul says that through baptism, you were dead and lay buried with Christ. Now, I should think of all the terrible ways that men have invented of putting others to death. One of the worst possible things that could ever be experienced is being buried alive. But you see, that's what most Christians accuse God of, burying me alive. They say, well, okay, my baptism is my burial service of the old life, but my old life is still very much alive. No. Burial cannot take place until after death. Hello? You're not going to accuse God of burying you alive. No, you died. He took you to the cross. He crucified you with him. You died. Your baptism service testified to the fact the old life is dead, buried, finished with. Now you are a new creation. Now you have a new life. And the new life is not you. That was the old life. But the new life is Christ in you. So the secret is this, Christ in you. But you see, although all were taken to the cross, Christ does not live in all. Why? Because you have to come to the cross personally, as you know, and put your faith in Him. Then you are raised to a new life in Christ. So that also is a historic event. It has already happened in your life if you're born again. The truth about your life is that when Jesus died, you died. So even before you were born, actually, that death had taken place. You came to realize that when you put your faith in Jesus. My old life, dead, buried, finished with. Now I am a new creation. In the old life, you didn't have Christ in you. In the old life, you didn't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But now you are a new creation. Christ is in you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you. So God has enabled you to live a new life. So in these verses that we're talking about, Paul isn't being extraordinarily super spiritual. He's just saying, well, this is the new life. Your new life is you rejoice always. The new life is you don't get anxious about anything. The new life is you always give thanks. The new life is you learn to be content in all things. The new life is learning that God supplies every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The new life is learning that you are a co-heir with Christ, that whatever God has given to Christ, He's given to you because you're in Him and He's in you. So you see, the basic problem is one of faith. It's a question of whether we really believe that God has done when He went to the cross and was raised to life, whether He's really done what He says in Scripture He has done. You see, I've come across a lot of Christians over the years that say, well, I've died, but my old life won't lie down. No, no, no. Have you ever seen a buried person sit up? And you see, this is what Paul says to Romans. You have died, but you have to reckon yourself as dead. So in other words, you can have all kinds of negative feelings, negative reactions, negative thoughts, ungodly, unholy. And of course, the devil loves to sow those thoughts, those fiery darts, and then accuse you for having them. He's a nasty bit of work, isn't he? I mean, but that's how he operates. He stirs up all the wrong things and then accuses you for having those wrong emotions, wrong thoughts, wrong desires, and so on. The truth of the matter, that isn't you. That is not you. That isn't you. And the devil's in the whole business of kidology, trying to kid you, that is still you. He wants you to believe you're still under His influence. Whereas Jesus says, no, no, God has given us authority over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will harm us. So really, it's all a matter of basic faith. It's not, oh, I've got to try to rejoice. Oh, I must try to give thanks. Oh, I've got to try to have the right thought life. No, 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 it'll never work. The more you try, the more you fail. Why? Because you are trying to do it. And if you're trying to do it, you're not wrecking yourself dead. You see, you are allowed to say, I can't. If by that you mean, I can't do anything. Absolutely nothing. I can't do anything to please God. There's nothing I could ever do for God. He doesn't even want me to do anything for Him. Because the new life is Christ in me. If I'm doing something for him, Christ isn't doing it. But if I recognize, I can't live like that. I can't do that stuff. I can't be like that. But Christ in me is like that. So if instead of me trying to be holy, me trying to live the righteous, me trying to live a godly life, I come to the conclusion I can't. And you see, that's exactly why Jesus took you to the cross, because he knew you can't. Do you remember also the scripture that says that we have to be delivered from the law? And that when Christ died on the cross, he delivered us from the law? Well, what's the essence of the law? This is what God wants. You must do it. But the people of Israel could never do it. And that's why Jesus came. That's why there is the cross. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. That's why Christ has come to live in us. Because we cannot ourselves do what pleases God. It's impossible. And we put ourselves into false bondage every time we try and fail. And you know, we come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done it again, meaning, oh, I've done this or I've done that or I've done the other. And you know, it's that thing that always seems to trip me up, and again and again and again. And you might pray, oh, Lord, 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 set me free from this. And he's saying, I can't, because I already have. But you don't believe I have set you free from it. That's why you're still living in it. You don't believe you have died. You don't believe that that old life is buried. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to think like that. You don't have to behave like that anymore. Because now you live the new life and Christ is in you. Now, the church in Corinth was of just about the most ungodly church in New Testament times. But when Paul is writing to them, he doesn't start telling them off about this problem, that problem, what shouldn't be happening here, there, and everywhere in the life of the church. He starts by saying, to those who are sanctified, made holy, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. You see, what he's saying to them is, you're living all this stuff here in the natural. It doesn't belong in your lives, doesn't belong in the church. You're supposed to be living the new life. Don't you realize that you don't have to try to be holy? He's made you holy because the Holy One is within you. You have already been set apart for his glory. You have died. Scripture says, you have died, talking to every believer, you have died, and your life is now, not in the future, but now, hidden with Christ in God. I love that scripture. I'm living with that scripture every day, because you know what it says? It says, Colin, you're hidden in Christ. It's not just that Christ is in me, but you're hidden in Christ. All that failure, all that, you know, inability to fulfill the word of God in your own strength, all that is hidden with Christ in God. You're hidden with him. You're in God. You're in Christ. And you see, this is the truth for every single one of us in this room. It isn't for the, you know, the most spiritual people or for leaders or for preachers. It's the truth about every one of us. He took every one of us to the cross. He put every one of us to death. In Christ, we all share in the new risen life, and his Spirit, the same Spirit that lived in Jesus, lives in you here this morning. It's amazing. So, you know, I read this and say, Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, well, I can't do that myself, but Christ in me can. The Holy Spirit within me will always cause me to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Well, I'm a lot more gentle than I used to be, but I'm not always gentle in my own. But Christ in me is always gentle. If I trust in him, he's always let his humility and his gentleness come forth. Hello? Oh, sometimes I can get anxious about things, you know. Oh, Lord, 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 this situation, that situation. What are you worried about? Put it all in my hands. If it's in my hands, it's no longer in your hands. You're only anxious while you think it's in your hands. While you think you have to work it out. But if it's in my hands and you're trusting me, then I have to work it out. And you've got nothing to worry about because I always work things out in the right way. Can we see how it works? It's called faith. And you happen to be in a meeting of kingdom faith this morning. So, you know, I can have all kinds of thoughts and boom, 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 and negative and this, that, and the other. And then I have to remember, wait a minute. That's just me. It's not the way Christ in me thinks. So then I can put my trust in him, can't I? And I can say, oh, thank you, Lord. You give me your thoughts. You give me your perception. You give me your view of the situation. Hallelujah. Begin to see things as you see them and understand them as you understand them. And yes, you know, I can see a need and think, oh, this is something. And then I remember, wait a minute. God has supplied all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And I'm in Christ Jesus. I myself, I can't supply all my needs, but he already has. So if I trust in him, it doesn't matter what the need is going to be met. Because God sees it already met in Jesus. Are you breathing? You're so very quiet. I'm just checking up. So my God will meet all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Not according to me, my thinking, but according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So Paul gives his testimony to the Galatians, doesn't he? I have been crucified, this old life. I have been crucified with Christ. And remember, he was a very, very, very religious man. Very, very religious. But he said that religious man was put to death. Because it doesn't matter how religious he was, he didn't have faith in Jesus. He wasn't born again. He wasn't a new creation. Very religious people do all they can to try to serve God and to please God. And he said, well, that was all rubbish compared to what it means to be in Christ. That's how he describes it, doesn't he? And God delivered me from all that rubbish of me thinking I could be religious and I could do anything to serve and please God. I learned I couldn't do anything. So he said, you know, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Of course, he had a soul life. But he wasn't a sinner anymore, he was a saint. And you're not a sinner, you're a saint. Amen. See, the devil wants you to think you're still a sinner. Because you sin. Saints can sin. Right? But because they sin, that doesn't make them sinners. A sinner is someone with a sinful nature, but you have a holy nature, Christ in you. See, the Holy Spirit lives within you. So he says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I don't have to be like I was. I don't even have to be as I am if when I read scriptures like this, I think, yeah, wouldn't it be great? Because you see, if we think like that, we're not living in the revelation of the truth. I am like that. This is my new life. My new life will rejoice always. My new life will never be anxious. My new life will trust the Lord in all situations. My new life will know that He will meet every need of mine according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's who I really am. So this is why Paul says, let your minds be renewed so you know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You see, the person who's trying to please God, trying to serve God, he needs a renewed mind. He needs a different thought life. Because no matter how hard he tries, he's always going to fail. Just like Paul, or Saul, as he was before he became the Apostle Paul. He even thought he was serving God in persecuting the Christians. That's how misconceived people can be when they're trying to serve God in their own strength. But you see, you can only do all things through Christ if you do nothing without Him. I mean, you know, I'm not going to function without Him. Why should I function over here? Why should I think of myself as being a spiritual failure when God has taken hold of my life and my life is now hidden? That weak failure that I am in myself is hidden with Christ in God. So that I can be hidden and the Christ in me can be revealed. Now, that's something else, isn't it? And can you see the effect this will have on our prayer life? Because we're praying from over here in Christ, with Christ in us. We're not praying over here, wondering what God is going to do. This is why Paul says, no, you pray at all times with thanksgiving. John says, if we know that He hears us, we know that we receive from Him whatever we ask. Now, of course, all of us in the natural fail to fulfill those scriptures. But God doesn't beat us up and punish us and discipline us because of that. Says you weak and awful failures. No. He does for us what He did for Paul. And He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. If you understand how weak you are, stop trusting in your weakness. And trust in my strength. Trust in me with all your heart. Right, now, listen to me carefully, because this is the whole point of this message this morning. So are you listening? Don't wait for God to do something in you. Oh, God, do something in me so that I live over here now and not over here. What do you expect Him to do? What has He got to do? He's already given you His Son. He's already given you the Holy Spirit. He's already baptized you in His Holy Spirit. You're already filled with His love. You're already filled with His life. What else is He to do? You see, when we look at our failure to live out the Word of God, we say, oh God, You must do something in me. He said, no. It's not for me to do something for you. It's for you to start to believe. It's for you to believe what I've done. When you believe what I've done, then you'll live more fully in what I've done. You don't have to wait for anything. You just have to believe it and live in the good of it. Oh, there's all kinds of ways in which we can continue to meet with God as we seek Him. And every encounter with God, you know, affects us in a positive way. But it isn't because we live by experience of what happens to us when we have times of prayer But we live by faith in the unchanging, eternal Word of God. We live in the good of what He has accomplished for all time. We live in the good of the Word of God, that He has dealt with every negative on the cross. In the power of the risen life, He has given us everything that is positive. He has done it. All we have to do is believe it. And when you believe it, you apply it. You don't simply believe, oh, well, that's interestingly doctrinally. Now I understand that doctrinally I was crucified with Christ. Doctrinally I have been raised to a new life. Doctrinally Christ lives in me. Doctrinally my life is now hidden with Christ in God. Jesus didn't die for a doctrine. It is all doctrine, because doctrine is simply the teaching of the truth. Doctrine is simply teaching. So it is doctrine, but His words are spirit and life. God doesn't want us to regard these truths of being in Christ and Christ in us simply as right doctrine. Oh, they teach right doctrine at Kingdom Faith. No, we want to live right life. Now, if you live right life, it's because you believe the right doctrine. You can't believe wrong stuff and then have the right life. Hello? But what God has revealed to us in these scriptures is not just doctrine. It's the life of God that is already in you. The presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let's get to our feet. Now, when we have faith and we apply the Word of God, we take the Word of God, apply it to our lives, we can have one of two attitudes. We can think, right, this is something that needs to live in me, and As it lives in me, then I'm going to see God do more and more in my life. There will be more and more of Christ. He will transform me into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. That's a process, and that's true. Or we can think, something can happen to me right now because I'm taking hold of the truth right now. Now, the fact of the matter is both those things are true. Yes, God is going to work a process in our lives so that we do become increasingly more like Christ, because there's less and less of ourselves, more and more of Him that is actually being expressed in the people that we are and the things we do and the way we speak and the way we pray. But at the same time, every time we take hold of these truths, every day we take hold of these truths in our own prayer time, God wants us to believe something happens now. Because the truth is a present reality. So I want you just to close your eyes and focus on Jesus. I'm just going to read these scriptures from Philippians, and I want you to Philippians in the Truth Version, and I want you to just listen. Know that God Himself is speaking to you. This is not Paul. This is God speaking to you. Always rejoice in the Lord. I repeat, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be obvious to others. The Lord is near. So there is no need to be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything, following your petitions with thanksgiving whenever you ask anything of God. God's peace is beyond understanding and will keep your hearts and minds at one with Christ Jesus. What then should fill your thoughts? Whatever is true and noble and right in God's eyes. What is pure and lovely to Him. What He admires, which is everything that is excellent and worthy of praise. Put into practice all you have learned from me, whatever you have received or heard from me, and the Lord's peace will continue to be with you. I have learned to be content regardless of the circumstances in which I find myself. I certainly have known what it is to be in need, and I have also known times of abundance. I have learned how important it is to be content no matter what the situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm living in abundance or am lacking what I need. I have discovered that I am able to do everything through trusting in the One who always gives me strength. And my God will surely supply for all your needs, drawing on the glorious riches He has given us through our unity with Christ Jesus. Now just talk to the Lord and thank Him that when He went to the cross, He took you, not just your sins, He took you, the sinner. Thank Him that He put you to death. That like Paul, you can say, that old person no longer lives. Thank Him that you have died. It's historic. Your death is just as historic as Jesus' death because it took place at the same time. So you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Thank Him. Thank Him. Oh Lord, thank You that my life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's not what I feel, but it's what I believe. I believe this is what You have done. This is where I now am as a new creation. My life is hidden with You in God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that Your grace is sufficient for me. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. For when I'm weak and don't trust in myself, then I'm strong because I trust in You. So thank Him that you're going to have a great week because you're going to be walking with the Lord in unity with Him in the new life. You're not walking in the old life. You're walking in the new life. You're living as a new creation. You're living as one who has died and has been raised to a new life, Amen. Is now living in Christ, and Christ is living in you. And every time, you know, the enemy or others or the events that take place during the course of the week distract you and get you back to focusing on self, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you, no, 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 you have died. Don't get back to all that negative, senseless, useless way of thinking. Think of yourself as I see you. with your life hidden with Christ in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, can you see? In him, you are healed. Hello? Can you see that? In him, you are healed. He sees everything that he did on the cross already accomplished. In him, you are healed. The reason why we struggle so much to receive healing is we think so much of ourselves in the natural. And we say, oh Lord, come and heal me. Oh Lord, come and do this, come and do that. He says, no. You come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, live in me, live in the place where I put you. Go on living in me and I will go on living in you. Live in me and my healing will go on living in you. And my anointing will go on living in you, and my power will go on living in you, and my enabling and my ability will go on living in you. Hallelujah. This isn't doctrine, this is life. This is life. This is the new life. This is what he died to make possible for you and for me. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. That in and of myself, I can do nothing. You said, apart from you, I can do nothing. I believe that, Lord. I can do nothing to please you. I can do nothing really to serve you. The only way that I can really please you is by letting Christ work in me, Christ work through me, Christ fulfill what I cannot do myself. So I praise you, Lord. Now, can you thank him? You're going to have a week of grace, a week of living in Christ, a week of living in your healing and your healing living in you. Can you thank him for that? Of living in the truth and the truth living in you. Can you thank him that you say no to all the fiery darts of the evil one? You're not listening to all those negative lies and thoughts of the enemy. You are walking in victory. Hallelujah. That Christ always leads you in his victorious procession. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Now, just before we finish, Lord, I pray for a spirit of revelation to be upon every single person in this room, that nobody goes from here and tries to put themselves to death, because that would be unbelief. But you will give that revelation to every heart that we have. Each one of us has died. It's historic. It has happened. And we are now a new creation. And thank you that in the power of the Spirit, we can live as a new creature, a new creation. And we bless your holy name. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Let's exalt the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.